And now, here comes story time. And the name of the story is Reb Yisrael Baal Shem Tov and His 10 Wedding Gifts. And the story goes like this. There once lived a very pious and God-fearing Jew called Reuven. He was admired by everyone for his unusual kind heart and good deeds. He had no greater pleasure in life than to help anyone who was in need. Now Reuven had a hotel which was located at the outskirts of the city. So many travelers would stop off at his hotel for food and rest. After all, the service was truly outstanding. Yet, the price was set according to how much one could actually afford. So often, he would invite guests who just couldn't afford to pay anything at all. Yes, dear children, Reuven was truly a very charitable person. Now, there were two workers who helped him take care of the guests who would come to the hotel. One was called Avraham, and the other, Sarah. Unfortunately, they were both orphans. That is, they had no father or mother to take care of them. So Reuven took them in as helpers and supported them in a very pleasant and kind way. He knew how great the mitzvah was to be kind to anyone, especially orphans. Yes, dear children, one of the greatest mitzvahs is to give a helping hand to those who unfortunately are orphans. Actually, there was nothing that Reuven wouldn't do to make life pleasant for both of them. In fact, he treated them as if they were his own children. Now, as years passed on, and Avraham and Sarah were old enough to support themselves, Reuven felt that it was the right time for them to plan their future. Now, Avraham and Sarah were not related at all. That is, they were not from the same family. And for this reason, Reuven thought it was wise to suggest that they plan their future together. That's right, that Avraham and Sarah get married and raise a family of their own. And you can imagine how delighted Reuven was to hear that they both agreed. It didn't take long, and a date was set for their chasuna, that is, their wedding day. Realizing how great was the mitzvah of hachnosas kalah, that is, to help and offer support to anyone who is getting married, Reuven said to them, "Here, please do me a favor. Take this purse. You see, there are 600 gold pieces in it. Now go to the fair and buy for yourselves all the clothes you need for your wedding day." At first, they refused to take such a large sum of money from Reuven. But Reuven insisted, and they had no other choice but to agree. And off they went to the fair. As they got onto the coach, Reuven called out, "Remember, make sure to buy the best and the nicest outfit for the chasuna, no matter how much it will cost." Filled with joy, they left for the fair, thanking Hashem for their unusual fortune and praying that Hashem bless Reuven for his kind heart and good deeds. Now, as they were traveling towards the fair, something so very strange happened. Something so very strange indeed. They noticed an old man sitting on the side of the road, crying so bitterly. His hands and feet were tied with heavy chains. And next to him was a very wicked-looking officer. As the old man noticed Avraham and Sarah, he called out, "Help me! Please, help me! He's taking me away! Please have mercy! Save my life!" The cruel officer called out, "Stay away from him. There's nothing you can do to help him. Get back onto the road and continue traveling."
"What are you going to do with this old man?"
they asked. "Why is he crying so bitterly?" "You heard me," yelled the wicked officer. "Get back onto the road if you want to remain alive."
The old man kept on pleading, "Help me. Please don't go away. Save my life. I want to live."
Now Avraham realized that he has now the chance to do a very, very great mitzvah. Yes, the mitzvah that is called Pidyon Shevuyim, to free anyone who is captured. Bravely, he walked over to the officer and said, "How much money do you want for this old man?" "Go away," the officer called out. "You don't have so much money with you. Get back onto the road. Hurry up if you want to remain alive."
Avraham lifted up the purse with the money in it and said, "Please, do tell me, how much money do you want for this old man?"
The puzzled officer looked at Avraham and said, 600 gold pieces. That's right. 600 gold pieces. And nothing less than that."
"Very well," said Avraham. "Very well."
Avraham looked at Sarah. There was a moment of silence. Then Sarah shook her head and smiled. "Yes, Avraham. Why, of course. Go right ahead." Avraham handed the purse over to the wicked officer and said to him, "Here, you may count this yourself. You will find all the 600 gold coins in this purse." The officer just couldn't believe his eyes, for there was exactly that amount in the purse. Quickly, he removed the chains from the old man and said to him, "Go away, you old man. You are free. You owe your life to these people. If it were not for them, your life would have been worthless."
Holding the purse tightly in his hand, the wicked officer turned around, ran into the thick forest, until he was out of sight.
The old man said to Avraham and Sarah, "I don't know who you are, but I would like you to know that Hashem is surely going to bless you for what you both did today." Avraham helped the old man onto his wagon and ordered the coachman to bring him back to town so that he may return to his family safely. After bidding farewell, Avraham and Sarah began their trip back home. That's right, back to Reuven. After all,
What's the use of going to the fair now? They are both penniless. They have no money with which to buy anything.
We find Avraham and Sarah standing in front of Reuven. In Avraham's hand was the purse in which Reuven placed 600 gold pieces. But now, the purse was empty. Avraham explains to Reuven exactly what had happened, as Reuven listens carefully to the strange and unusual story. As Avraham finished telling the story to Reuven, Reuven called out in a soft but reassuring voice, "Do you realize how great a mitzvah you both did? Why, you both saved the life of that old man. And that's the mitzvah of Pidyon Shevuyim, to free the person who is in captivity. Why, that's worth more than all the gold in the whole world." After saying this, Reuven called over Avraham and Sarah and said to them, "Come, you must be tired and hungry from traveling. Please, come, I will give you something to eat." After the meal, Reuven said, "I want you to know that everything shall proceed just as we planned. You will both travel to the fair and buy for yourselves all the clothes you need for your wedding. And so far as the money is concerned, let me worry about that." Well, dear children, Avraham and Sarah just didn't want to accept any more money from the kind-hearted Reuven. But Reuven insisted, and they had no other choice but to agree. And off they went to the fair, praying to Hashem that he bless Reuven for his kind heart and good deeds. You can imagine how thrilled Reuven was when Avraham and Sarah returned from the fair and showed him the new outfit of clothing that they bought for their wedding. Now, realizing how great was the mitzvah of Hachnosas Kalah, that is, to offer help to the one who's about to get married, Reuven decided to invite to the wedding as many people as at all possible. By doing this, he would be bringing that much more joy and happiness to Avraham and Sarah. In fact, he invited all his relatives, his friends, everyone in town was invited to come and join in on the great simcha. Finally, the wedding day arrived. And in town, there was so much hustle and bustle as the guests kept arriving from all over to take part in this great and unusual simcha. Now, the large hall where the wedding was to take place was filled to capacity as the crowd was waiting anxiously for the arrival of Avraham and Sarah, that is, the Chasan and Kala, the bride and groom. It didn't take long, and the crowd burst out with a joyful welcome as Avraham and Sarah finally arrived. There was so much singing and dancing that made everyone so happy and joyful. Now, outside in the spacious lawn, under the clear sky, the chuppah was all set and ready. That is, the large, beautifully decorated canopy under which the chasen and kala stand during the marriage ceremony. An aisle was formed through which the chasen and kala were to pass as they head for the chuppah. Now everything was set and ready to begin when all of a sudden something so very strange happens. For as the crowd was hushed to a perfect silence, the large door to the hall was opened, and in walked a very holy-looking rabbi with a group of 10 students following him. Everyone present realized that he must be someone so very special. That is, from his holy appearance. His shtreimel and long kapata, that is, the majestic-looking fur hat and long overcoat. His red beard, sparkling blue eyes, and radiant face gave him the appearance of a heavenly angel. Upon seeing this, Reuven went over to the stranger and said, "Welcome to our chasana. You have just come on time. I don't know who you are, but I would like you to know that it is certainly an honor for us to have you come and take part in our wedding. But please, do me a favor. Please give us the honor in having you recite the blessings, the brachos, under the chuppah. I'm sure that this will add more joy and delight to the chasan and kala." Strangely enough, the guest agreed, and everyone went out to the spacious lawn where the chuppah was set up right under the open skies. One of the reasons why the chuppah is set under the open skies is to symbolize that just like there are so many, many stars twinkling and sparkling and shining so brightly in the dark, so we pray to Hashem to bless the chasan and kala, that they too shall have many, many children who will sparkle so radiantly and bring light to the world through their Ner Mitzvah and Torah Or, through the learning of Torah and practicing the holy mitzvos. Right after the chuppah, there was the outcry of Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov, as all the relatives and guests came over to wish the chasan and kala Mazal Bracha, good fortune and blessings. Everyone joined in forming a large circle to dance around the chasan and kala. After this, everyone returned to the hall, where there were rows of tables, beautifully decorated and set with an assortment of delicious foods for everyone to eat and enjoy. Now all this time, Reuven was trying to figure out who this stranger was, and who are these 10 students that came along. At first, the stranger hesitated to reveal his identity. He felt that it wasn't necessary to tell Reuven his name. But Reuven insisted and begged him, "Please, tell me your name. It will add to our simcha if we will know who you are. Upon hearing this, the stranger said, "My name is Yisrael Baal Shem Tov, and I have been sent here to bless you and the Chosen and Kala for your unusually good deeds. Your sincerity and kindness has reached the very heavens, and the heavenly court has appointed us to bless you with good fortune and great success, both in body and in soul." Well, dear children, you can imagine how happy Reuven and the Chosen and Kala were when they heard this. They felt as if they were the most fortunate people in the entire world. At the end of the meal, Rabbi Yisrael Baal Shem Tov stood up and said to the Chosen and Kala, "I have brought along 10 of my students for a special reason. Each one of them is going to leave a gift for both of you to enjoy." Upon saying this, the first student stood up and said, "I'm going to give you the entire park that is in the center of town. Yes, it's yours for keeps. Make good use of it and truly enjoy it." Everyone was amazed to hear this. First of all, the park belonged to a very rich and wealthy landowner called the Poritz. And how could the student of the Baal Shem Tov give this away? Then the second student stood up and said, "Chosen and Kala, I'm going to give you as a gift the large lumber yard that is in the outskirts of the city. It's yours for keeps. Make good use of it." Avraham and Sarah just couldn't believe what they were hearing. Could this be true? Will they be the true owners of that luxurious park and great prosperous lumberyard? Why, that's a fortune of wealth. And all of this belongs to one Poritz or another. Reuven, too, was wondering if this was really true. Were they just making believe? Or is this really going to happen? He just remained there speechless, silent. He just didn't know what to say. Well, this went on and on, as each of the 10 students called out publicly the gift that they were giving to the Chosen and Kala. And dear children, strangely enough, each gift was the property that belonged to one Poritz or another in that town. After they all announced their gifts, the Baal Shem Tov blessed the Chosen and Kala and Reuven and all the guests present. Then he prepared to leave. He said to everyone, "Before I leave, I want to say something to you, something I'd like you to remember. I'd like you to know that there is a watchful eye that is forever watching over all of us. It sees all and knows all. Yes, Hashem, our Father in heaven, He sees all and knows all, and will surely reward in full measure to everyone who learns His Torah and follows the lovely mitzvos. Yes, in due time, all of these 10 gifts will surely reach Avraham and Sarah in full measure." Then
Then the Baal Shem Tov turned to Reuven and said to him, Reuven, I want you to know that Hashem will surely bless you and your family with long life and good fortune in return for your kind heart and good deeds. And quickly the Baal Shem Tov gathered the 10 students and led them to the horse and wagon which stood outside. And strangely enough, there was no coachman to direct the horse. But as soon as they all entered into the covered wagon, something so very strange happened. The horses began to run so speedily in a cloud of dust and a flash of lightning. Off they went till they disappeared into the thick forest.
Three months have passed, and Avraham and Sarah have already moved into their own cottage, which was built near the hotel, where they continued working as they did before. Kind-hearted Reuven helped them buy all the furniture and utensils they needed to make their new home as cozy and comfortable as at all possible. Every now and then, they would remind themselves about the Baal Shem Tov and the 10 gifts that his students gave them during the wedding. But it still remained a mystery, something they just couldn't understand. Now everything was going along quite smoothly, until one night, something so very strange happened. Something so very strange indeed. It was a wintry night, and a fierce storm broke loose. The winds began to howl through the night as a snow blizzard blanketed the entire village with many feet of snow. It was during the fierce storm when Avraham and Sarah suddenly heard a knocking at the door. Who could that be, they wondered? Who would be outside during such a fierce blizzard? As they opened the door, to their surprise, they found a small child shivering in the bitter cold. He was crying, "Please, oh please, let me in. I'm lost. It's so cold out here. Please let me in." "Why, of course," Avraham and Sarah said. "Please, come in." Gently, they placed the small child next to the warm fireplace so that he may warm up his hands and feet. Sarah went to the kitchen and put up some hot water to make a drink for the helpless child. Avraham placed some warm blankets around the child and tried to make him as comfortable as at all possible. The child opened his eyes and said, "Oh my, you are such kind people. I don't know who you are, but I have never seen such kind people like you before." Sarah asked the child, "What is your name, please? And where are you from?" The child looked up and said, "My name is Brewster, and I live in a large mansion right at the end of this forest." "You see," continued the child, "each night, my father orders one of the servants to take me horseback riding in the forest. And tonight, something went wrong. A heavy snow blizzard came along, and we just lost each other. I was following his horse as closely as possible, as we were heading for home. But the fierce winds came along, and I just couldn't see where I was going." cockily, I noticed your cottage and headed towards it. You know, if I would have to stay outside in that bitter cold any longer, I don't think I would have made it. You saved my life. Yes, you really saved my life. Avraham prepared a comfortable bed for little Brewster. He was so tired and exhausted, and it didn't take long, and he fell fast asleep. Abraham said to Sarah, "As soon as the storm will quiet down and the roads will be cleared from the drifting snows, we will be able to bring Brewster back to his home. His parents surely must be worried. They must be looking for him. I feel so sorry for them," Sarah added. "If they only knew that their little Brewster is so safe, tucked so comfortably under a heavy and warm blanket, and is so fast asleep. This would make them so happy. But, alas, we must wait till the storm passes." Avraham looked at Sarah and said, "You also must be tired by now. Good night, Sarah." After which, Sarah answered, "Good night, Avraham." Now the Puritz had already started the search for his lost son. He sent out an alarm and plea for everyone to join in and help him find little Brewster, who was lost in the forest during the fierce snowstorm, and luckily found his way to the cottage where Avraham and Sarah lived. Little Brewster was so thankful to Avraham and Sarah for being so kind and thoughtful to him. Now, as the hours passed and there was no trace or sign of little Brewster, the Puritz wondered if he will ever see him again. You see, dear children, little Brewster was his one and only child, and he was so dear and precious to him. The Puritz was ready to give away anything he owned in return of his lost son. How little did he know that Brewster was so safe and sound, enjoying the loving and tender care of the kind-hearted Avraham and Sarah. And you can imagine how surprised the Puritz is going to be when, lo and behold, in comes Avraham and Sarah, holding on to the hands of little Brewster.